We have, for the past several weeks, been looking at the Gospel of John and I Am statements. In fact, we have taken 7 weeks to look at 7 I Am statements. And then today what we're going to do is sort of a review of those 7 statements, but also looking at how each statement that Christ made is necessary for us and the needs that we have. There was a flight that was going to Paris, and because of weather, they couldn't land, so they went about 150 miles away in order to land. And then they asked the people to get off the plane, and they had chartered very nice buses to take them back to Paris. But there are about 20 people on the plane that refused to leave. They said they wanted a flight back to Paris. And I told them, you know, we don't know how long that's going to be. We've provided buses. We can get you back there. But they still refused to leave. I understand that they were so rude to the attendants that were there that they got off the plane. And they stayed on that plane for about 4 hours till finally they gave in and got off the plane, got on the buses. The funny thing is, by the time they got off the buses, they could have been in Paris. But it was just the rebellious nature that they had. And oftentimes things are out of our control, as it was then for the pilots and for the airline. And we do the best that we can in those situations. But they really hurt themselves by refusing to do that, just continuing to be rebellious. And I think a lot of times when it comes to our needs that we have, we are not willing to admit that we have those needs. And it's exactly the same human element within us, and that's our pride and the rebellion that we have against God and what He's trying to convince us of, the things that we need. And when you look at the I Am statements of Jesus Christ, you can see that He's busy about meeting those needs. We selected a passage. I know every Sunday that we had a lesson on this, we selected a passage that for reading that dealt with, you know, that I Am, but we didn't have one really this morning, so we selected John, the first chapter, which talks about the glory of Christ, and he who has seen Him has seen the Father, He's in the bosom of the Father, and so forth, that type of thing. And I think you see that overall here with what Christ is saying in these I Am statements. The first one that we looked at was over in John, the 6th chapter, in verse 48, when Jesus said, "I am the bread of life." And so, of course, this was said in the context of Jesus feeding the 5,000. You remember that miracle where all the multitude had come out to see Him, and it would be a long ways back home, and they would faint in the way, and they didn't have enough in order to see that the people could eat. And so Jesus took the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes, and He prayed to God and handed it to the apostles, and they distributed to the people. And 5,000 men, besides women and children, all ate, were all satisfied, and they took up 12 baskets that were left over. God has a way of impressing upon our minds that He is more than sufficient to meet our needs. Anyway, it was in that context that Jesus said, "I am the bread of life." Those that were against Jesus, those that were skeptics, were quick to point out that, you know, Moses, and they said they were followers of Moses, and Moses, when he fed the people manna from heaven, he did it for 40 years. How can you compare yourself to Moses? This is just one feeding. Jesus, of course, in return, responds and says, you know, it wasn't Moses that gave him the manna in the first place. It was God that gave him the manna. And furthermore, he who eats my bread shall never die. That's better than 40 years, right? So I am the bread of life. He meets our needs. Man is hungry. A lot of times, like the people on the plane, we don't understand what our need is, and we end up hurting ourselves and trying to fill it in so many different ways. But mankind is really hungry. Not for something superficial. A little substance, but a lot of substance is what we need in our life. Not things that are transparent. We're eating that kind of stuff all the time. We feed ourselves in the flesh, And the things that we hold dear to us as far as the time that we have and the entertainment that we have, the things that we have pleasure in this life, we're feeding ourselves those things all the time. But those things cannot take care of the deepest need that we have. We need something more than that. We need things that are truly holding value throughout the ages. And Jesus said, I got that. If you will come to me, I've got that. There are some things that never change. I can give you a true value system. I can give you something that will feed your soul. But you got to come to me. I am the bread of life. And so when we come to Jesus and we start to hear His words and take His words into our life, we truly become nourished. I had a good friend I talked to yesterday. He lives up in the Panhandle. And y'all know him. Bill and Debbie know Lacey. We worshiped together at there in Oklahoma, you know, for a while. And Lacey was getting real weak. He works extremely hard, to say the least. And he runs a bunch of cattle and does a lot of different things. But he was getting so weak he couldn't do a day's work. And he went to the doctor, and the doctor says, you know, what he been eating? Well, he says, he hated to admit it, but he said Roman noodles mostly. So I'm on the run all the time. So I can get that out. I can eat those and I can be gone again. He said, that's the problem. You need more substance than that. Now, for Lacey's credit, you know, I think it was 2 years ago, his wife unexpectedly got sick and died. So he's living out there on that ranch, and I mean out there, by himself and doing a lot of the work himself. And he said, I'm a little bit of a cook, so now I've started to cook. And he said the other day he fixed himself a pot roast and all the vegetables and stuff that goes with it. And he says, you know, I'm starting to feel better. And I can work now just as good as I ever worked here on the ranch. You see, we need something that has real value, something of substance in our life. We cannot go through life eating cotton candy. And even religiously, this is what a lot of people are doing. They're settling when there's more there. Jesus said, I've got it. I'm the bread of life, and you need to come and to eat. In John the 8th chapter and verse 12, Jesus says, I am the light of the world. I am the light of the world. That's the second I am statement. Of course, this has a background too in the Old Testament. As you remember, when they were in the wilderness, the same place that you had the manna from heaven, you had the tabernacle and you had the glory cloud, and it did shine and it did move. It provided light and it showed them where to go in the wilderness, guided them. But light also, besides a lot of different things that it does, it exposes what is in the darkness. And all the darkness in the world cannot put out just one candle flame. I want you to think about the power of light and what it does within our life. And also the power that we can have in being a light unto the world. We have nothing to fear. If you're walking in the light, if you are God's child, if you know the truth, and you're walking in that truth, you have nothing to fear. Darkness cannot overcome you. You can overcome darkness with that light. The Old Testament background, of course, was with also the menorah, that candle stand that they let put in the tabernacle. And here on one of the great feasts that the Jews had up there in the temple that sat on the hill, they had numerous very large menorahs, and they would light these things. And at night, it would light up the whole temple. And people could see the light even in their own gardens down in the houses below. And Jesus is standing there when all this is going on, and he says, I'm the light of the world. Not just the light of the temple, not just the light of Jerusalem, but I am the light of the world. Another interesting statement that comes into play at the very beginning of the Gospel of John is it says that the people would not come to the light because they love the darkness. They didn't want their deeds to be exposed. There's something about the Word of God and that it's always applicable to people, and usually all the preacher has to do is stand up and read the Word, preach the Word to the people, and it has some application to those that are truly hungering and thirsting for righteousness is as an application to their life. And it exposes things. And our reaction goes one or two ways. We either say that's right and I need to get right. Or we say, I'm not coming back to hear that preacher anymore. Man, I'm not coming to that church anymore. But the light has a way of letting you know the truth. It exposes the darkness there, and it brings something that all of us need, and that is correction within our life. And the Word of God provides that. It is inspired of God and is profitable for teaching, for reproof, and for correction and instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly furnished unto all good work. Some people say, well, I go to church, but I go to church to feel good. Well, I want you to feel good too, but the ultimate good that comes from hearing the Word of God is when we repent of our sins and turn our life over to Him. And if we've got some kind of darkness going on in our life, and for the moment, as Paul said to the Corinthians, if it brings sorrow into your heart, I'm glad that it brought sorrow, because now you're doing the right thing. And so sometimes that is absolutely necessary. Jesus says, I am the light of the world. Jesus said at the end of the Gospel of John, chapter 8, verse 58, before Abraham was born, I am. In a way, this statement is sort of the center of the other statements and stands head and shoulders above them, if that is possible. And it all goes back to the burning bush and Moses standing there and saying, who shall I say has sent me? They're not going to believe me. I am who I am, the Lord. I'm self-existent, is what he's saying. There's really more to that little statement found in that text than we can imagine. For one thing, he's saying, I am the first cause. Everything that's created has to have a first cause. If there ever was a time when there was nothing, it would still be nothing. And because people have lost this thought that we are created in the image of God and God is the first cause, they've lost purpose. And I really do believe that a lot of the problems we have in our world today is because people don't know where they came from. They don't know why they're here, and they don't know where they're going, and they're lost in this sea. And all they do is just live for self and live in sin and iniquity and hurt themselves and hurt other people. But there's a different frame of mind and a different way of life that comes to us because we say, I know where I came from, and it wasn't rocks and dirts and gases that just evolved over time. God made me. And that changes a man. It gives the human race a purpose. And so when Jesus says, I am that I am, he's saying, I'm the self-existent one. I don't need to be created. I don't need anything to sustain me. I've created all things, and I do sustain all things. And ultimately, when you back everything up and you end up saying, where did that come from? The only way to answer that is with I am that I am. And so we trust in God and His meeting our needs as far as finding purpose in life, and it would solve an awful lot of the ills that we have if we would come to the realization that Genesis chapter 1 is true, historically accurate, and that's how we came into being. In John, the 10th chapter, in verse 11, as we move on to the next one, Jesus said, I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. Of all basic human needs that we need to have, and this one, of course, a lot of the psychiatrists and psychologists agree with, they just don't know where to find it. But of all the basic needs that the human race has, it is the need to be loved and to love. How far will you go for the one you love? Jesus said, I'm the good shepherd, and when the enemy comes, I'm not running off. I will lay down my life for the sheep. Right in the context of the religious leaders who had put the blind man whom Jesus had healed out of the synagogue. And Jesus is saying, you're not true religious leaders. You don't really care about this man, but I love him, and I'll lay down my life for him. And of course, not only him, but for all of us. It does something. It changes your mind. It changes your outlook on life when you not only know where you're from and that there is a God Almighty who has forever been in existence, but also He loves you. He's not just there and all powerful. He actually loves you and laid down His life for you. I'm thinking it doesn't get any better than that. He protects us. He guards us. He watches over us. He feeds us. He's the good shepherd, and He's not going to run off when the wolf comes. He is there with us. A woman was out looking for one of our sheep, and as she went around looking for it, she finally heard a bunch of noise and racket and bawling. She went over there, and she found the thing tangled up in the fence. And the more she tried to get it out, the worse it got, kicking and fighting against her every way possible. And after some time, finally, got it free, and it didn't turn around and say thank you. Can you imagine that? Just kind of run off its own way. And she said, I was thinking, you know, that sheep probably thought that it did it on its own. That through its struggles and its kicking and its fighting, it finally set itself free. And that person that was bothering me over here, they just left me alone, I would have made it fine. And I think a lot of people think about God like that, you know. God's trying to work in our life. He's trying to move us. He's trying to tell us what is right. And they're saying, God, just leave me alone. I can work it out. And all we do is get tangled up all the more. And then when we do get set free, we don't give Him any thanks for His grace and for His kindness that has delivered us. You see, He's there. He's meeting our basic human need. He loves you. He'll do anything for you. He laid down His life for you. You remember what Paul said in Romans when he said, if He gave His life, will He not freely give us all things? What do you want? And so we miss the big picture of what God is doing in our lives. We're so thankful He set us free. We're not going to be like that, are we? We're not going to be like that sheep, no. We're going to show up here and we're going to thank God and we're going to worship God and we're going to live for God in our lives. Jesus then says, I am the resurrection and the life. John 11:25. You know Lazarus, Martha, Mary. Martha comes out to meet Him on the way and they have that discussion, and that's when, you know, He says, your brother's going to rise again. She says, I know. I love Martha. Martha sometimes gets, some criticism because of the earlier meeting when she was in the house with Mary, and Mary was sitting and listening to Jesus, and Martha was all busy, you know, preparing things. And she got a little criticism from the Lord and, you know, said, I'm not going to take this away from Mary. She's chosen the good part. But I want to tell you, Martha had faith. It would not be easy. By the time Jesus entered their house, it was very dangerous, and I'm talking about real danger, to welcome that man into your home. You're associating with who? The religious leaders are already scheming to kill Him and to cast anybody that believes in Him out of the synagogue. This is dangerous business to have this rebel into your home and to feed him. Martha's house, come on in. And then here, when she comes out to meet Jesus, I know that He will. You gotta love Martha's faith. She said in the resurrection in the last day, she had it right. There's gonna be a day like that. She knew that. But Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. I can take care of that right now. Just as one day I'll take care of it for everybody in the last day. I can do that right now. And of course, Lazarus is raised from the dead. But this meets another basic human need, and that is hope. With all the sickness and all the tragedies and all the death that is in our world, man needs hope. You don't just walk through life continually walking into the blackness when you're a Christian. You do walk through the valley of the shadow of death. But you're walking and you're coming out on the other side. There's hope. And in your family, even as I speak, there's sickness. There's tragedies that some of you have experienced. And death is at the door for some, even now, that you love. And when Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead, He says, this is not the end of it. there's more to life than this. There's hope. It's something that we need. We all need hope. Jesus says in John 14th chapter and verse 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father by me. And you remember how he started that off when he's talking about heaven. Don't let your heart be troubled. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again, that where I am, there you may be also. I am the way, the truth, and the life. We don't know where you're going, Philip said. How do we know the way? That was the answer that Jesus gave. A basic human need that we have. Jesus is saying a lot in this text. But one basic human need that we have that only Jesus can meet is access. Access to the Father, the Creator. And so you remember the way that it was. Adam and Eve, they sinned and the garden was shut down. And ever since that time, God was working on a path so that man would have access back to the Father, the tree of life, which the book of Revelation closes with. And you remember the way it was in the Mosaical system, and they had the tabernacle, the most holy place, but if you were not the high priest, you weren't going into the most holy place without dying. And the priest, of course, they served in the holy place there for the needs of the people. But it was through Moses and these high priests and the priests that were there that access was made unto the throne of God, his very footstool at the Ark of the Covenant. And payment was made for sin. And then along comes Jesus. And he goes to the cross, and when he dies, the veil in the temple is rent from the top to the bottom, showing it was a work of God. Access. Not through the priest, but through the high priest, Jesus Christ. We need access. Sometimes don't you just want to shut everything down? Turn off the TV, shut the other books down, get away and pray to God. Don't you just want to communicate, have that line of access? Some things that come into your life and burden you so much, and you know that you've got to talk to God about it. And there doesn't seem to be any answers, any way out, but you just got to lay the burden down. Well, Jesus provides that. He says, I'm the way, I'm the truth, I'm the life. You want to go to the Father? You come through me. And so when we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus, because that gives us access. He meets all of our needs. That's the wonderful thing about it. In John 15 and verse 1, you have the last one. You remember, Jesus said, he didn't say, I am the vine. He said, I am the true vine. Ye are the branches. Of course, Israel had the history. This also has Old Testament background of, being the vineyard of God. And that was their national symbol. Like we have the eagle as a national symbol of the vineyard and the vine, the branches. And they were to produce fruit for God. We are God's vineyard. They took pride in that. And over the holy place, they had that sculpture, of the vine, the grapes, beautiful thing, overlaid with gold and precious jewels in it. Took a great deal of pride in that and who they were. I can see Jesus passing by there, looking up at that and saying, I'm the true vine. Ye are the branches. This is a beautiful thing about it. And the human need here that we have that must be met is usefulness. A lot of people are dying. They're already dead. They're just walking around. But a lot of people are dying, are dead spiritually because they haven't found any usefulness in their life. And, they spend their whole life trying to produce for themselves. There's a great deal of selfishness in the things we do. But Jesus came to show a better way. He said, I am the vine, you are the branches, you produce fruit because you abide in me. And the kind of fruit that you produce is the kind of fruit that is needed. It is not selfish. If anything, Jesus taught us to give and to give sacrificially and to give without thought of self. You produce what the world needs because you're a Christian. Thank God for you. Thank God for those who are branches in the vine and are fruit bearing, because you're producing, you're useful. And man needs that. He needs to feel that way. I want you to see that he had provided everything for us through the I Am statements. And I think, you know, when we recognize the greatness of Jesus and everything that he has done for us, we appreciate even more and more and more who he is. There's nobody else that can do what he has done for us. That was a woman in Ryan, Oklahoma. She had cancer. She had cancer in her head and cancer in her neck. And they said, you really need to start your treatments now. If you're going to have a chance at this, you need to start now. But she had just found out that she was pregnant. And she was told that the cancer treatments could do harm to the life that was in the womb. She had a decision to make. And she said, I'm not taking the treatments. And she waited those months until the baby was delivered. And when the baby was delivered, she held that baby in her arms with great love, sacrifice that she had made. 3 days later, she died. But I believe, she believed, she made the right choice. And it was totally unselfish because of the love that she had. And when Jesus laid down his life for us on the cross, there wasn't anything selfish about it. I am the good shepherd. I lay down my life for the sheep. This is a Savior that you can come to this morning. We invite you to. He loves you. He cares for you. There's Christians here who feel the same way. They've already done this. But if you've never done it, why not come to a Savior like this? He provides all your needs. If you believe in him, if you believe in him, who wouldn't want to confess him, right? And I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And upon that confession to say, I just want a new life. I want to repent of sin in my life. I want to change. Please, please let me be baptized into Christ for the remission of my sins. And the answer is yes. We'll do that. We'll help you with that. If you need to come as we stand and as we sing.
Hear the sweet voice of Jesus say, come unto me, I am the way. Hearken the loving call, obey. Come, for he loves you so. Only a step, only a step. Come, for he bled. Same loving Savior yet, Jesus the crucified. Open for you the pearly gate, watch and wait, terrible thought to cry too late. Jesus, I come to thee. Only a step, only a step. Come, for he bled for you and I. He's the same loving Savior yet. Jesus the crucified.